Thank you, Pastor Noah. It's true. I had to laugh this morning when he was saying that, because I'm not an epidemiologist. So if you've come to hear about coronavirus, you'll leave disappointed. But if you come to hear about Jesus, you should be good. Come on now. So tonight, I'm really excited to share the word with you. I just sense that God's been doing something in this church, in this house over the last few weeks. And as I was preparing for this message, I wanted to think about how can I build on that, build on what God's been doing. So I'm excited to share this message, which I've entitled Stay Standing. When I came up with this title, I thought of this incident that happened in my life. A few years ago, I was in Tokyo. I was at Disneyland, happiest place on earth. Come on now. Big kid at heart. And so I was walking around, and at this Disneyland, they've got these little vendors all over the place that sell popcorn. Some of them odd flavors. There's a curry popcorn. Not for me, but if you like it, good for you. I got myself a bucket of popcorn, and I was walking around. I was following my mate. We're going to our next ride. It was all really exciting. And as I'm walking, I sort of stop because I've knocked my foot onto something. It's pretty light, but there's just something in the way. So I just go to nudge it. I'm thinking it's just some rubbish, which is odd to me because Japan, it's very clean. But I think there's like a bag of rubbish, so I'm just trying to kick it out of the way. There's a bit of resistance. So I give it a bit more force, keep pushing, and then I hear a noise. I move the popcorn to see I've kicked over a toddler who is in Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, who's now being trampled by a giant white man. Now, I'm profusely apologetic. The mum comes rushing over, picks up the child. I'm screaming, sorry, sorry, sorry. She might not speak English, so now she's got this white man screaming at her, mah, 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 as I've just tried to kill her child. The thing was with this is she gave a bit of resistance. She continued to stand, and then what I should have done is just looked. But it reminded me of the importance of when we stand firm against resistance. And this is something that I want to talk to you about tonight. We've gone through a couple of weeks now of prayer, of fasting, of giving. We've had weeks now where we've been talking about breakthrough. Last week, Pastor Noah was talking about letting go of the things in the past that will hold you back from what God has in your future. But given all of this, I want to ask you a question. What do you do in your life when you don't see change? What happens if you've been praying, if you've been fasting, you're ticking off all of those Christian boxes, you're reading your word, and you believe that God's going to do something powerful, but you haven't seen it yet? You haven't seen change. You haven't seen something come into fruition. What do you do? Well, tonight I want to encourage you as a church that we will stand strong in the things of God in spite of the fact that sometimes we might not see an immediate change. This comes from a passage of scripture that was made very real to me quite a few years ago. Actually, it was Mum who said it. It was a good reminder. For those that don't know, a couple of years back, I was in Africa. I was trying to travel home from Africa. And as I got to an airport in Ethiopia, we discovered that I didn't have my phone or my wallet or my passport or anything that had been stolen on the flight on the way to Ethiopia. So now, I'm trying to get onto a plane. I've got no ID. I've got no way to get on the plane. And I'm stuck. It was really funny because Emma was there. Hey, Emma. Emma feels terrible about this, so I bring it up every time. You know, I just want a bit of a laugh. But Emma was part of the team, and I said to her, look, my passport's just going to be on the plane. I've left it in the seat pocket. I'll go grab it. You go through customs and everything. I'll see you on the other side of the glass. I couldn't because I couldn't get there because I didn't have a passport. So I get up to the top, and Emma's on the other side of the glass, and she goes, and I went, and then she went, and I went, and then she got on the plane and left, and I was there for 3 days. Now, this had a lot of problems attached to it. I mean, if you've ever been to the airport in Ethiopia, what you'll find is not a lot to do. Not a lot of showers, not a lot of beds, not a lot of anything. So I had to try and kill some time as I went along. But every day I'm on the phone, I'm calling home, I'm trying to figure out how to get home, and there's issues with time, and there's issues with airlines, and it was the end of school holidays, so all the flights were packed up. And I remember trying to call Mum and Dad, and we're trying to figure something out. And I remember Mum saying she had this revelation. It's quite a frightening time when everything's out of your control. She said she was out in the garden, and God reminded her of this scripture, which you'll see on screen. It comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 13, the full scripture reads, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. While I was stuck in Africa, Mum was reminded of the presence of God while she was in the garden, where God said to her, do everything that you can and then stand. When there's nothing more that you can do, stand. When there's nothing more that you have at your disposal, just stand. And that's what I want to speak about tonight, and having done all, to stand. So there's something that's required of us, and then when we've done everything that we can do in that space, we stand and we believe that God will honor what has been done. To give you a very practical example of this, let's talk about the virus in the room. Not in this room, amen. But let's talk about corona for a second. Having done all, wash your hands. Use sanitizer. If you have flu-like symptoms, contact a health professional. If you need to quarantine, then do so. Do all of that. But then stand. Stand on the word of God. Stand and believe that his blood will cover you. Stand and believe for healing. Stand and believe for quick recovery. Stand and believe that you will not be harmed. Stand and believe that your family won't be harmed. But having done all, then stand. Wash your hands and then wait it out. So what I want to talk about is the fact that there are things that we need to do in your life. And some of you tonight, you've gone through a prayer and fasting this week. Some of you have given into the expansion offering, believing that God will bring you breakthrough. But if you don't see it, then I want to encourage you to stand. Some of you will have a breakthrough, and you'll be able to give God praise. You know, last year at the prayer and fasting that we did, the 21 days in June, there were certain things that I was believing for, and I haven't seen them yet. Does that mean God didn't hear me? Does that mean that I've done something wrong, that I've fallen out of favor with God? Does that mean I didn't fast long enough or pray hard enough? No. It just means that the timing isn't right for me yet to see the fulfillment of that promise. He hasn't ignored me. He hasn't neglected me. So in the meantime, I stand. It reminds me of the story that Jesus tells in Matthew 7, a very famous parable where he talks about the wise builder, the wise and the foolish builder. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does that, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Rains, floods, winds, they'll come against it, but it does not fall because it was founded on the rock. When we're standing and waiting for God to move, tonight I want to talk about what do we stand on. What are the things that we can stand firm on? And what can we do while we wait for our breakthrough? What can we do while we wait for our change? And there's so many different things that we could draw out here, but I want to just draw out three tonight for you. The things that you can stand firm on while you wait for your breakthrough, while you wait for your change. So why don't we just take a second to pray, and then we'll jump right in. Father God, I thank you for your presence that's here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this season where you're doing something exciting. You're doing something new. You're with your people. And we just believe, God, that you are doing something incredible. And in faith, we receive what you're doing. But tonight, God, I pray for clarity of mind and spirit as we hear about this next season and what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want to talk about that you can stand on is the Word of God. In my job, I teach these students. A lot of them go on to try and work for the government. And what that means is a very intensive and very rigorous application process. And one of the things I try to teach them is never overstate your resume. Never overstate your resume. Some of them have, to their detriment. Because if you try and apply for the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and you maybe study Japanese in grade 8, don't say to them that you study or that you know Japanese, because I guarantee someone in that room will know a whole lot more than you do, and then you get called out. It has happened to some of my students. That means they didn't heed my advice, so my only response is to laugh. But, you know, we live and we learn, don't we? Often we can see these people in their lives, they overstate what they have, they overstate what they can do, and there's times where that falls down. But when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the Scripture, when it comes to the Bible, there is nothing written in that book that is overstated. There is nothing written in that book that you cannot bank on. There is nothing written in the Word of God that falls short of what its intention is. There's a couple of scriptures we can say to draw this out. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's a very famous scripture. All Scripture itself is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. In Psalms and in Proverbs, the Word of God is referred to as true, as perfect, as pure. The Word of God itself, it's living, it's breathing, it's active. When we speak the Word of God, it does something. It changes something because it is inspired by God. It has survived the test of time. We're talking thousands of years, some parts of it hundreds of years, that the Word of God has remained relevant, has remained powerful, has remained active. Why do you think in 2020 we come to a church and we hear someone come up and speak about the Word and there's just something that starts to stir inside of you? When you hear Scripture, something begins to change. Something takes life and it takes hold because the Word of God is true. Because the Word of God is alive and the Word of God is active. And if you haven't seen that in your life yet, then you can test it because you know that the Word of God is inspired by Him. So in your life right now, you might be doing things, you might be seeing things in your life, but you can't really see the breakthrough. You can't really see the change. Well, let me tell you, if you stand firm on the Word of God, you will not be shaken. Like that builder who built his house on the rock, the wind, the flood, the rain, the virus might come, but you can stand firm on the Word of God because it is tested, it is proven, and it is true. And if you're in this place tonight, any age, I can guarantee that you can read the Word of God and He will make it alive to you. I think there's something, I discovered this a while ago. God had a really clear intention with the Word of God. He didn't write it at a level that no one could understand. There are things in there that are deep mysteries. There are things in there that become revealed over time and through inspiration. But fundamentally, God wants every single one of you to be able to discover Him through His Word. But you're not able to do that if you don't pick it up. You're not able to do that if you don't open it. So let me just encourage you here tonight. If you aren't in the Word of God, it takes one moment to read it for your life to change. One moment to open the Scripture for you to be satisfied and filled. One moment, one Scripture, one parable, one chapter for you to change your life because it is of God. So if you want to stand firm in this time and you haven't seen change, you can stand firm on His Word. So the first thing you stand firm on is the Word of God. The second thing I want to talk about is the working of God. This here, I'm talking about His promises and His power. We can stand firm on what God promises. We can stand firm on what He can deliver. It's actually quite incredible because this morning, Pastor Ben preached on something very similar. He actually said here that there's certain things that cannot get in the way of God fulfilling His promises, whether that be the present circumstances, past failures, previous disappointment, and potential threats. If you'd like to hear more, then definitely watch that one back. It's incredible to see that God's promise has so much power. And that's what I want to talk to you about now. If you have read the Word, if you have come to church and someone's prophesied over you, if you sense in your spirit that God has something for your life, and it's in accordance to His Word and in accordance to His will, then you can stand firm on His promises. God doesn't operate by our same notion of time. It's not linear. It's not day to day. God can see all things and do all things in all time. So I might still be praying for something that I believed for last year, and God sees it just as real as He did when I first prayed. It's just as real, but He knows when it will mean the most. He knows when it will make the most difference. He knows when it will benefit me the most. So it might not be now, but if it is in the future, it's better for me in His will. In Hebrews 6, we're told that those who through faith and patience, they inherit what has been promised. Sometimes we do need to have faith, and not just have faith, but maintain it. We can get disappointed, we can get dejected that we've prayed to God, we've believed for something and we haven't seen it. But if we maintain our faith and believe that what He has promised is true, and we continue with that faith and our patience, we will inherit the things that God has promised us. In Numbers 23, it says that God is not a man that He should lie, nor is He a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and then not fulfill? What the writer here is saying is that God isn't based on our same standards. I mean, I'm sure we've all had experiences where people might have told us to do something and it lets us down a bit. I get that all the time when I grant a student an extension and they don't come through with it. Oh no, that's just off my chest, thank you. But when it comes to God, He's operating on a different level. He can't lie. And it's not in His will or desire to let His people down. If He promises something to you, you can bank on His character to say that if He promised it, if it is His word, it will come to pass. Doesn't mean it's immediate, but it does mean that it's going to happen. In Psalms 119, there's a scripture that says, your promises have been thoroughly tested and your servant loves them. You might not have seen your breakthrough, but I guarantee there's someone sitting close by who has. And they can testify of a time where they didn't give up hope, they didn't give up faith, and they saw God pull through. And if you can't speak to those people around you, go to the Word of God. Time and time again, we see these powerful men and women in Scripture who have heard a promise from God, who have held on and have seen Him deliver them. The Word of God, His promises are true and they have been tested. And that is something that we can use as our evidence to continue to maintain faith. In 2 Corinthians, it says, all the promises of God, they're yes in Christ and in Him, they are amen, to the glory of God through us, who establishes us with Christ, with you in Christ, and has anointed us in God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. When God gives a promise, we can say yes. When God gives us a promise, we can say amen. That means let it be so, so be it. Bring it into being. Even though we cannot see it now, we can say yes, it is so. Yes, let it be, because God has promised it. And not just that, we see the extension of the scripture. It talks about how these guys are now working together. This church is now expanding and building because they're both believing for the same things. They're moving in the same direction, and the Spirit of God confirms it. So if God gives you a promise and you sense the Spirit of God in your heart, that is a guarantee to you that you are not forgotten, that the promise has been mistaken. It is a guarantee to you that His promise is still true. So we can bank on the Word of God. We can stand firm in the Word of God. We can stand firm in the working of God. But fundamentally, I think the most powerful thing is when we stand on the worker. When we stand on God Himself, who He is and what His power is as well toward us. In our family, we've got a beautiful woman who was part of our lives for a long time, Nana Lorraine, we called her. She's absolutely magical. And growing up, my brother and I would often be in her car. We'd be driving back to her house, and she'd see something really cool. And we wouldn't prompt it, but I remember one time driving towards a house, and there was these people taking off in a hot air balloon. And she'd say, I'm going to take you boys on a hot air balloon. Little pause. When I win the lotto. And this is what happened quite a lot. It was one of her favorite catchphrases. I'll take you here. When I win the lotto, we'll go over here when I win the lotto. Now, Anna Lorraine, she had the best intentions. She wanted to see us on a hot air balloon, but she didn't have the capacity to pull it through. I don't begrudge her of that. I've got no problem with that. But what we saw is that there was a promise, but there wasn't the capacity. There was a promise, but not the capacity. In God, let me tell you that in His promise, there is capacity. In His promise, there is power. In His promise, it's not just the potential that maybe something's going to happen. In His promise, there is sureness because He can pull it through. And this is told time and time again in Scripture because, like I said earlier, you and I can get disappointed when we don't see something, when we don't see something take shape the way that we think it might. We've had experiences through our past, our history that have let us down to see that promises are not fulfilled. But God constantly reminds us not just that He has he can give the promise, but He has the potential to follow it through, and not just that He has the character to see it done. In Hebrews 10, it says that He who promised is faithful. It's in His character and His nature to be faithful to fulfill what He has said. In Thessalonians, it says that the one who calls you is faithful, He will do it. In Psalms 145, the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving to all that He has made. He directs it toward us. Part of Romans chapter 4 says, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what He had promised. And these people gained faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, the one that we got this scripture from, it says that to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not just in God, but in His character and in His nature. When we know God, when we gain a level of intimacy with Him, it's not just about what He says, it's about who He is. God doesn't just promise us something so that we can feel better. He's promising us something so He can reveal Himself. let's take an example of this expansion offering. God's promising multiplication. He's promising us expansion to St. George and to Logan, not just so we can be a bigger church. I don't think that's on his mind. I think what's on his mind is that our church can reach people that haven't heard the gospel. Our church can reach the broken who have yet to find a home. Our church can fill communities that have need and then satisfy that need. God's intention is to reveal himself through what he's promised. Why does God want to see you healed? Not just that you're healed, but that you have a testimony of the glory and goodness of God in your life. Why does he want to provide for you? Not just so that you can have money, but that you can have confidence that he has provided for you before and he will do so again. God doesn't just fulfill promises to tick it off a to-do list. He fulfills your promises so you can know him better. He fulfills his promises so that your picture of him is clearer, that your understanding of God is better, and that whatever happens in the world around you, whatever the circumstances are around you, you can be sure of the God that you know. I might pray for people for healing and I don't see them healed, but I've seen him heal. So if I pray for someone and they don't get healed, it doesn't change my opinion of God as a healer. I know he heals. I know he heals. And this is the thing, when God fulfills his promise, it's not just for what it looks like on the surface. He's doing it to show you himself. Ultimately, he's doing it to show you that he loves you. He's doing it to show you that he cares for you, that he knows you, and that he wants to be with you. So tonight, when we're standing here and we're in this season where God's doing something and perhaps you're believing for something and you're wanting something, what can you stand on? You can stand on the word. You can stand on his working and you can stand on the worker. We have confidence in the word of God, in his promise and in his power, and also in God's character and in his nature. So where do I see all of these things converge? Where do I see this all take place at one time? There's this really cool thing in scripture and I actually love it. So many of you would have heard these before, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded. There's a thing in scripture where God actually reveals his character to his people. And he chooses to do so by showing us part of his character and his nature by revealing his name. So through scripture, we look through it and God gives us a name for himself. Not because he doesn't know who he is, but because we don't know that about him yet. So he tells his people, "This is who I am." He says in another part of scripture, "This is who I am. This is who I am." And we get this more clearer picture of the complexity of who God is, but his character and his nature. Not just that, in the New Testament, when Jesus comes, he affirms some of those names for God, but then he also reveals more depth about the character and the nature of God in himself. Where do we see the word of God? Where do we see his promises? Where do we see him himself? We see that in the names that he gives himself. And so tonight, I want to remind you of some of the names of God. I want to remind you of some of his promises in his character, in his nature. I want to remind you of what you can stand firm on. That in the face of all of this change, in the face of everything that's occurring in the world right now, you can stand firm on his name, on his character, on his nature, on his word, and on his promise. Because it is who he is. This is a weird time. I don't know if I'm teaching tomorrow. We've got these very vague and weird emails. I don't know how long class is going to go for. I don't know what's happening with my employment. But you know what I do know? God's on the throne. God's in control. And I will do everything that I can, and then I will stand. I will do everything in my hand, and then I will stand with him. So who is this God that we serve and who is this God that is speaking to us? He calls himself Jehovah, the great I am. It means that he is and he always will be. He calls himself El Shaddai, that he is God Almighty above all things. He calls himself Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for his people. He calls himself Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals and still heals today. Jehovah Nissi, he calls himself a banner, that when we go into battle and we go into war, he is already there before us. He calls calls himself Jehovah Makadesh, the sanctifier who cleanses our heart and our soul. He calls himself Jehovah Shalom, the God who is my peace. He calls himself Jehovah Tzidkenu, the God who is my righteousness. He calls himself Jehovah Rohi, who is my shepherd. Jehovah Shema, the God who is present, the God who is here in your circumstances. He's the God who is here right now. He's the God who's here when you leave this place, and he will be the God when you get home. And this week, when you're confronted in anxiety about what's happening in the world, he will still be Jehovah Shema. He will still be the Lord who is present. He will still be the Lord who is with you. He calls himself El Elyon, the God Most High, higher than anything, higher than any principality, higher than any darkness, higher than any disease. He is God Most High. And then Jesus comes to this earth and he sacrifices his own glory, being entirely himself, but entirely God. And he reveals more about his character. He says he is our advocate, that he stands at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. He is praying for you. He is interceding for you. He is believing for you. He is almighty. He is the anointed one spoken of all time. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. He is the great bridegroom that we will meet in eternity. He is the bread that provides life and sustenance for your soul. He is your comforter in a time of distress and grief. He is your cornerstone on which all things are built. He will deliver you from every kind of evil. He is indeed Emmanuel, the God who is with us. He is our everlasting Father. He is the true witness of our salvation. He is the foundation of all things in the earth. He is a friend of sinners, and he calls himself a friend to me. He is a gift from God. He is a guide through our life. He is the head of the church. He is the head of this church. He is our high priest, interceding for our righteousness. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the great Lamb of God who sacrificed himself for your forgiveness. He is still the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has the fight in him to save your souls. He is our light. He is our life. He is our mediator. He is our master. He is the great physician. He is, of course, the purifier and sanctifier of our hearts. He is our teacher. He is our refuge. He is our rock. He is our savior. He is the way. He is our wonderful counselor. And he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is at the beginning of all things and he will be at the end of all things. Where you are right now, God is present. Where you will be in 10 years' time, God will be present. Where you were, God was present. There is nowhere that you will go that God will not be. Stand on that. Stand on that. Stand on the Word of God. Stand on the worker of God. Stand on his promises because they are true. Over the next few weeks, you're going to see a lot in the news. You're going to see a lot around you. We're only beginning to see the implications economically. I wouldn't want to say what I think will happen in the spread of the disease, but things are going to be difficult in the world. But you and I, our foundation is firm. Our foundation is the God of all eternity, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the ruler of all powers. He is God and he is good and he is good to you. So tonight, as you go out of this place, stay standing. Stay standing. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. So stay standing. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Stay standing. Behold, he is with you always. Stay standing. And when I hear this, I can't help but lift in my spirit because he is just so good. He's so good, and he's good to us. So I think now, before you see your breakthrough, before you see your promise fulfilled, do you know what God deserves? He deserves your praise. He deserves your glory. He deserves your thanks. Before anything happens, let's praise Him. Let's honor Him. Let's give Him glory, for He truly does deserve it. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Set your heart on God and who He is.